I just want to draw your attention to one announcement in this sheet and allow you to look at the others. But there are some host families that are needed for August to house Japanese students. Lisa and I did this last year. It is not a major encumbrance on your lifestyle, and I would encourage you to do it. This is not a Christian thing. It's just students that are coming over to learn some English. And we had a great time with our student last summer. We brought the young guy to our community church, and that was good, and he came to our home group, and I would encourage you to think about that and stretch yourselves and go for it. Amen. I'm starting now. It's time to go. About 10 years ago, there was a movie out that I imagine many of us have seen. If not, and if you see it, I haven't seen it for 10 years, so I'm not responsible for any of its contents, but it was called City Slickers with Billy Crystal. You seen that? Mitch? Mitch in the opening scene gets kind of a big demotion at his job, and right after he has that sort of crushing experience, he goes off to one of his children's kindergarten classes, and he's supposed to talk about life for a minute. And this is what he says. We did this at the men's retreat, and I'm going to give you a slower version than Billy himself. He's talking to this kindergarten class, and he says, "Value this time in life, kids, because this is the time in life when you still have choices, and it goes fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family and make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin, the music starts to get too loud, and one of your girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still too loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. The 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. You start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10 and breakfast the night before. You spend most of your time walking around the malls muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, well, you have a major stroke. You end up babbling at some Jamaican nurse whom your wife can't stand but whom you call mama. And then he turns to the class and he says, any questions? Life can be a series of meaningless decades, one after the other, where all you really look forward to is a Jamaican nurse that you'll call mama. Oh, don't look that forward to it. Or, on the other hand, in this world of Proverbs that we are entering into week by week, life can be a journey from where we are to God. A long journey toward God, where along the way, we will acquire something that's more precious than either time or money or travel. We will acquire what the Bible calls wisdom. Now, I want you to hear a text from Proverbs 9. I didn't tell you where to turn. You can turn to Proverbs 9, or you can just listen. And even when you get there, I'd like you to just listen, because I want you to hear this story. And for those who weren't in home groups, I want to give the setting. Proverbs 9 is very, very poetic. And there's a picture here of a young man walking through town. And on each side are big hills, and on the top of the hills are temples. And in one temple is woman wisdom, who we're going to find out later is God. And in the other temple is woman folly. And she represents the gods of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and so on. So, hear the text. You ready? Just hear it. Enter into the drama. The writer says in chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls out from the highest point in the city, let all who are simple
Come in here,
she said to those who lack judgment.
Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me, you will gain many days, and you will gain long life.
We keep walking. We get to verse 13. And now we hear another voice. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and lacks knowledge. She sits at the seat at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point in the city, calling out to those who go by, who go straight on their way, saying,
let all who are simple come in here.
She says to those who lack judgment,
stolen water is sweet, and food eaten in secret is delicious.
But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Wisdom and folly. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 7. I know I've got you in chapter 9 and told you not to look, and now I'm taking you back to chapter 4. I'm sorry. Wisdom in the Proverbs, chapter 1, chapter 8, chapter 4. Wisdom is in the streets calling out, come to me, follow me. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Next line is crucial. Though it will cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. There's a high price to get wisdom. But then wisdom, after you pay the price, gives life. Now go over to chapter 5, verse 21. For a man's ways, a woman's ways, are in full view of the Lord. And he examines all his paths. God examines the path of a man or a woman. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline. Watch the next phrase. Led astray by his own great folly. So wisdom is very expensive, but it gives life. And folly, well, for folly, you pay a high price. For following, it will cost you your life. That's Proverbs. Two paths. And we see this back and forth description over and over again. 14:29, if you're taking notes, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. So the wise person speaks and commends knowledge. But the mouth of a fool gushes folly. 15, verse 21. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment. You lack judgment, you love folly. But a man of understanding keeps a straight course. It's one way or the other. I love this one just because it's kind of fun. 17, verse 12. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. Which would you rather meet? The writer of Proverbs says it's better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs, that angry bear, than a fool in the midst of his folly. Okay, here's a question for us. What is this wisdom that is spoken of in Proverbs? This is a book of wisdom literature. We ought to have a definition. So this is Reed Jolly 3:9. My own definition. If you don't like it, you're probably in good company. Wisdom, here's my definition. Wisdom is the practice of God's truth tempered by time and experience. Wisdom is the practice of God's truth tempered by time and experience. So wisdom is much more than head knowledge. And I think it's safe to say you really could teach anyone the truths of the Scriptures and they could understand them and they wouldn't be wise. You can go to seminary, you can pick up a good study Bible, and you can learn the Scriptures. They're not difficult. That is not wisdom. Wisdom is other than heartfelt passion. It's possible to get a whole group of 21-year-olds whipped up into a lather in worship, and yet, while good as that is, they're not necessarily wise people. Wisdom, again, is the practice of God's truth, not just once, but tempered by time and experience. Now, watch this. It's going to bug some of us as we go through this summer. Wisdom is entirely counterintuitive to everything that our culture teaches us. Because we want everything now. We have cell phones. We can talk. Turn yours off, by the way, if you've got one. We want our phone calls now. We have cable modems so that we can get our websites very quickly. And we see the same thing in the Christian life. And so Proverbs might frustrate us because we want instant discipleship. We want to read a little Prayer of Jabez style book that's 60 pages, and we want to get all that we need about wisdom out of one book. I get asked that all the time. Give me one book to read. Well, you're going to have to read a lot more than one. Or we want a spiffy little sermon with three spiffy little points, and we can go out of here and say, oh, now I've got it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Wisdom is the practice of God's truth, tempered by both time and experience. And the bottom line is this. It takes a long time to become wise. We've got to put the truth into practice over the long haul to become a wise man or a wise woman. You can be a wise guy real easily, very young. So time and experience, I'd appreciate it if you'd laugh at my humor a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Time and experience make biblical truth not more true, but more solid, more concrete, more fleshed out, more lived out. So this invitation that comes up again and again to gain wisdom, this invitation is for long-haul discipleship. Now, wisdom sometimes in the Proverbs is synonymous with skill, and sometimes in the Scriptures. Aaron needed a robe to be the high priest of Israel, and God anoints people with wisdom. That is, he anoints them with the ability to be good tailors. And he calls that wisdom. Exodus 28, verse 2, hear this. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron. So a wise tailor is one who can make a good robe because he has skill. Proverbs 30 goes to the extent of calling four animals wise. Ants are called wise. Coonies are called wise. A coonie is sort of a rabbit-like creature. Locusts are called wise. And the last creature that's called wise is a lizard. Why? Because they do a good job at being ants, coonies, locusts, and lizards. The ant is praised for its wisdom in storing food for the winter. The coonie is praised because it can make a house in the crag of a rock. Locusts are praised because they march in formation. And they eat all the crops. And a lizard is praised because even though you can catch one with your hand, it lives in king's palaces. It lives wherever it wants. And so these are thought to be wise animals. Now, take that and see what the proverb is saying. It's saying that wisdom is to be skilled at life, to be able to live life the way God intended it to be lived. And that can come through nothing other than time and experience. Job chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?" Okay, now hear this. A little statement. God takes care of his children. What do you think of that statement? Is that a very wise thing to say? It's true. Picture two scenarios. One of them true, one of them I'm making up. The one I'm making up is a little child from our church 2 weeks ago went off to Forest Home, went to Adventure Mountain. I always bug my kid by calling it Space Mountain, but it's Adventure Mountain. And the child comes back, young guy, young gal, and you meet them in the narthex between services, and you say, "What did you learn at Forest Home?" And this 9-year-old says, I learned that God always takes care of his children. That was the lesson for the week. What do you think when you hear that? You think, on the one hand, that's true. On the other hand, I'm glad you're learning that at a young age. And then you go on and you talk to someone else. End of story. I made all that up. This I did not make up. 2 weeks ago, I was at Mount Hermon doing some teaching there, and I met with a woman. I had several meals with her. Her name was Karen. Karen is 88 years old. And Karen grew up in Holland. She migrated to America in 1956. When Karen was 17 years old, she went to be a nanny for a man that was 42 because his wife died and he had 7 children. Soon Karen and the man, whose name I never got, 25 years her senior, were married. And together they had 11 more kids. How's your math? Well, that's 18. 2 of them died, 16 are still alive. She has 62 grandchildren and over 100 great-grandchildren. And she looked really good. That's what I can't figure out. I mean, she looked like she'd had a charmed life, but she lived the life of a Holland dairy farmer. I mean, I thought, what is in that milk? But Karen had a hard life. Karen was in the right place or the wrong place at the right time during World War II. And Karen is a righteous Gentile. That means the Jews have honored her. Her name is in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., because she harbored Jews during the war. She sheltered them. She told me about a year's time where over 36 people lived in her little tiny farmhouse for a year. She told me what it was like to have Jews that she was sheltering steal from you and how you handle that. All the kids had chores. You got chores when you're on a farm. And her granddaughter said, tell him what the chore was that they hated the most. Well, it turns out that every day people from the town would come out because they were starving to death and they would ask for food. And the chore the children hated the most was that each day one was elected to be the one that would go to the door and say, we have no more food for today. You'll have to wait until tomorrow. And they would watch through the curtains as many times the people would simply stay there through the night until the next day to get food. And the stories went on and on and on. And I muttered at one point during one of the meals, I said, not expecting an answer, I said, how did you do it? How did you survive? Well, maybe she thought I was really asking a question because she said to me, God takes care of his children. Wow. Both statements are true. It's true if a 9-year-old says it. It is true if an 88-year-old woman who's been through all this says it. But with the 88-year-old, there is a sense of the gravitas, the wisdom, the depth of her experience and her time and her confidence and her trust in God. And I sat there and thought, wow, there is a wise woman. Well, are you in Proverbs 9? We've got to get to it sooner or later. Proverbs 9 asks a huge question of the reader. It asks each of us, with whom will you dine? Who are you going to have dinner with? Woman wisdom or woman folly? And your answer to that question will determine your destiny. It will determine the course of your life. It will determine your eternity. You're the young man. You're the young woman walking through town. And consider these two offers. There's first woman wisdom. We know her by now as we've read through Proverbs. We've met her. She's the one who calls in the streets in Proverbs 1:20. She's the one who calls in the streets again in chapter 8, verse 1. She speaks the truth in chapter 8, verse 6. She detests wickedness in 8, 7. She has common sense in chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And now we meet woman folly in verse 13. Woman folly, we're not told too much about her, but she is loud, undisciplined, and she lacks knowledge. That's their character. The second is their call. Did you notice that both calls are identical? Let all who are simple come in here. There's this clarion call, this invitation to the simple. Last week in the park, we talked briefly about different characters in Proverbs. There's the fool, the mocker, the sluggard. Last week we studied the friend. And here's another character. If you have a computer Bible, just look up the word simple in the Proverbs. The simple, as I would read it, is halfway between the wise and the fool. This is the man or the woman who's really not decided yet. And so you have these two calls saying, come in, come in. A person who's aimless, inexperienced, a drifter, who's vulnerable to temptation, but hasn't yet succumbed. And I would say there's a little simple in each one of us, isn't there? Well, their location is important. They sit at the top of the hills. This is where temples were built. When Israel went into the land of Israel, they were told to smash all the high places, the temples on the top of the hills, and they didn't. And those temples proved to be Israel's downfall. So on one hand, you have the temple of the gods of the Canaanites. And on the other hand, you have the temple of God. This is wisdom. This is God poetically personified. You know, in the scriptures you have images of God. God is a warrior. God is a loving father. God is a husband. Jesus is the bread of life. He's living water. Jesus is the husband to the church. Well, here's one more image that we don't talk about too much. Jesus is woman wisdom. By the way, if you think through the New Testament a little bit, we see this Christ incarnate as the incarnate wisdom of God. Jews demand miraculous signs, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:22. Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ and Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to the Greeks, but to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and what? The wisdom of God. Christ is wisdom incarnate. Well, what's the meal? What happens at this meal? Lady Wisdom sets out the banquet. It's in the open. Come and eat. Drink the wine that I've mixed. And the produce of that meal is life, which in the Old Testament is salvation. Eat and live. And then woman folly says, stolen water is sweet, and food eaten in secret is delicious. Notice this, and notice it well, especially if you're flirting as a simple person. The path toward woman folly is often very enjoyable. Really. A couple weeks ago, Steve told his lost story, and I get to tell mine now. Two summers ago, Lisa and I and the kids, we were driving down from Montana. I think it was Highway 89. That's not important. But we came into a little town in Nevada called Ely, Nevada. Anyone been there? Just kind of a nothing town, a place to stay. Sorry if anyone grew up there. But we came in late at night on the way home, and in the morning we were looking for Highway 6. And we'd come in on Highway 6 3 weeks earlier on this vacation, again at night, so we didn't really recognize the topography. So we got up, Motel 6, 6 o'clock in the morning, kids jumped in the back, they fell asleep promptly, and we started going down the block, and within two blocks, lo and behold, there's Highway 6, and we just kept right on going straight. And Lisa and I had one of those great mornings. We put on some great praise music and looked at the scenery, and we said, boy, this is gorgeous. We shouldn't have come here at night last on the way up. We should have come in the daytime because it's so beautiful. And that went on and on and on for 60 minutes. Exactly. And we pulled up in the middle of nowhere, like one of those commercials, the white car comes down, and there's a little guy with a stop sign, and they're doing some construction. And so we pull up and stop, having had a great hour together from 6 to 7 in the morning. And I look to the right, and it says, welcome to Utah. I'm not a Mormon. I don't want to be here. I drink coffee. You think, in your mind, you think, this can't be good. There's nothing good about this. We went the wrong way. This has nothing to do with the story, but I've always wondered what that guy thought. He told us, you know, there'll just be a minute. And we rolled the window up and talked to each other for a minute, and we just did a U-turn and drove away. I'm thinking, what's that guy thinking? These Californians sure are impatient, you know, and he could watch us drive for 2 miles as we went back. But that's not part of the story. The point is this. We were off the path, and it felt really, really good. To the extent I still remember that drive, and if I ever had an excuse to be on Highway 6 going east, I would go there. Dine with woman folly, and the sweet, the water is sweet, and the food is delicious, but it ends in death. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. Now, there's this call here to dine with woman wisdom and live. We just celebrated the Lord's Supper. Did anyone make a connection as you heard Proverbs 9? Jesus says in John chapter 6, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This invitation to dine, placed in its larger biblical context, is an invitation to dine on Jesus. This is salvation we're talking about. Well, we are not going to get wisdom by September 1st as a church. This is a long haul that we're on. And it's going to take us our lives to become wise people. So instead of making a couple of summary statements about wisdom, I want to make a couple of preliminary comments about wisdom that we can chew on until we die. Number one, and if you're taking notes, this is your time. Wisdom can only be gained over a lifetime, but it can be lost in a minute. Many in this room are young, and I want to give you a homework assignment. Read Proverbs 7. Not right now. Proverbs 7 is probably the most seductive, enticing chapter in the Scriptures. It's the story of a young man in town, and a young, beautiful woman comes up and seduces him. She says, "My husband's away. I've got clean sheets. I've got great perfume. Come, and let's make love until morning." And it's quite a chapter. I read that regularly as a teenager, and it kept me out of trouble. Really. Because I got to verse 22, and I read this punchline, "All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life." Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, but it cost him his life. Sammy's corked bat will plague him for the rest of his life. Martha's insider trading, presuming she's guilty, will follow her days. Bill's Monica, William Bennett's gambling. Moments of folly that crush wisdom and tarnish a life. Preliminary comment number two. Wisdom is found by those who seek it patiently, but it's scorned by those who never look for it. Wisdom is found by those who seek it patiently, but it is scorned by those who never look for it. Check me on this. If you pursue righteous living, you will be mocked. It will happen. You will pay a price in the post-Christian world that you live in if you love wisdom. You'll be mocked at your workplace. You'll be mocked at school. You will be mocked. From the Message, Proverbs 14, verse 9, we read, "The stupid ridicule right and wrong, but a moral life is favored." Preliminary comment number three. Folly is everywhere. But wisdom is usually found in places that we don't even want to visit. Folly is everywhere, easy to find. But wisdom is found in places that we don't want to visit. I mean, the wise among us are those who've endured sickness, who've endured hardship, who have stood the test of time. They've practiced God's truth, and they've tempered it by time and experience. So Proverbs 15, verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man, a woman, wisdom." Watch the parallel here. "But humility comes before honor." In other words, you need to be humbled before you're honored. That's hard. You want to get wise? Get married. James puts it a little more clearly. He says, consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally. Do you see the parallel? The testing of your faith produces perseverance, and then the synonym, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you. Which means, if you're in a tough spot right now, and many, many, many in this room and at 4 o'clock are in a tough spot, give thanks, because God is taking you on that path of wisdom. Preliminary comment number 4. Wisdom will cost you your life, but it will spare you your death. It'll cost you your life, but it will spare you your death. We read it once, we'll read it again. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it will cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Okay. What is this thing called life? For Mitch in City Slickers, it was one meaningless decade after another. There's an antidote to Mitch, and it comes from Peggy Noonan. You know her? Marvelous writer, Christian thinker. She wrote a book on public speaking that I so enjoyed. It had very little to do with public speaking, but she just had a lot of wisdom that she gave. And I share one paragraph from it for you. She says, we're locked in a funny arc, most of us, in terms of what we know. When you are goony and 14 years old, you think that the most important thing in life is love. Then you mature, become more sober and thoughtful, and realize the most important thing in life is achieving, leaving your mark, making breakthroughs in the field of science, and or winning an Academy Award in recognition of a serious body of work, or creating security for yourself and your family through having a good house and sending your kids to good schools. And then, she says, you get old, and you realize the most important thing in life is love. Giving love to others and receiving it from God. All the rest, the sober and thoughtful things, the good and constructive things, they are good. But love is the thing. The rest is more or less between just what you were doing between the time you were 14 and wisdom. God, let it be so in our church. Let this body of believers be a body of believers who is intent on staying on the right path and keeping this journey toward you. Lord, let us be a people who dines with woman wisdom, who eats her food and drinks her wine, who leaves our simple ways and lives, who walks in the way of understanding. God, I want to pray for those in this room right now who are teetering, flirting with folly. Holy Spirit, would you come and show the sweetness of the meal of woman wisdom. Guard each of us, God. We need it. Guard us and draw us to yourself. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand. May God bless us and keep us and make his face shine on us as we pursue this path of wisdom. Now say hi to whoever you met earlier and have a good evening.